Hi, Janice.
Hi, how are you, Mary?
Fine, how are you?
Good, thanks to you.
Yeah, I got your message. I'm sorry about that. They were supposed to have them there. I need to contact them, and hopefully next time around we won't have any issues with the packets.
You know, they had a cardboard box that had, that I opened, was the only thing other than mail.
Okay.
In the box, and the cardboard box was one of those, I can't remember whether it's FedEx or whatever, but anyway, it had in it audits.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, audits and audit letters. So all that's right. All there was. There wasn't anything else in the box other than mail.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Are we the only people here? We're not that early, for God's sake.
A few minutes, that's it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Hi, Kevin. And Julie's there.
Yeah, Don usually has a little trouble signing in, I think.
Yeah. Let's see who else. Yeah. A couple of public. Hi, Michael.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Good. I'm the first here, huh? Besides you?
No, Kevin is on.
Oh, Jim, there we go. Now I see everybody.
All right.
You're home.
Yes, I am.
Lucky you.
It's a little cooler here. Or at least inside. It's over 100 outside, but.
Oh, my God.
Same here.
That's why we live in the Bay Area, I thought, yeah.
Get some tea.
Hey, Mary, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm sending that what you asked.
Okay.
Let's see, did I get the right one?
Good afternoon, everybody.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Larry, Janice, Michael, Mary, Kevin.
All right.
Okay. Maybe we can start and Don gets here when he gets here.
Well, it's not 3 o'clock yet. It's 2:59. Some of us didn't get the join link until it was kind of a little bit close to now. So we're fixing that.
Mallory.
Welcome. Hello.
Hi.
Hey,
Mallory, it's been a long time since we last talked. It's good to see your face again.
Good to see you too, Larry. It has been. I checked the date. I think it was the middle of November.
That sounds about right. We haven't done a damn thing on this building since the middle of November.
Well, we've been doing some stuff on our end, so I think we do have things to talk about. And hopefully...
We're being recorded right now. Hopefully you know that.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to interrupt and say, I don't think we have anything to talk about because the Community Services District didn't budget any money for their contribution.
We haven't started the meeting yet. Mary, have you made me a co-host just so I can moderate some of the hands up and stuff like that?
Okay.
So I think we can go ahead and start the meeting. Hopefully Don's on his way, having gotten his link. Because it's 3:02, so I will call the meeting to order. It is Wednesday, June 3rd at 3:02 p.m. This is a special meeting of the Kensington Fire Protection District. So I will call roll. Director Domer is in the process of joining, hasn't joined yet. Kosel?
Yes.
Nagel?
Here.
Padian?
Here.
And I'm here. Stein? We are also joined by Fire Chief Michael Pagoni and our Interim General Manager, Mary Morris Mayorga. We're waiting for Don, but I think we can go ahead. So I'd like to remind the board members, as well as the members, any members of the public who've joined us, that this is a special meeting, which means that oral communications are limited to items that are on the agenda. As such, we'll call for oral communications with each individual agenda item. So the first agenda item is consideration of authorizing the interim general manager to hire a student intern. And so Mary, I will turn that one over to you to present your item.
Okay, thank you. As I've been going through evaluating office tasks as the district transitions away from the current administrative services provider, I've identified the opportunity to hire a student intern to perform some general office functions. I know the district has used student interns possibly in the recent past, and I always like the idea of giving students in the communities an opportunity to see what the agencies are all about, what they do, and to try to contribute to that. As far as what kinds of general office functions I'm envisioning, they'd be things like greeting the public via telephone or email, general office tasks such as collecting, distributing mail, copying and binding, posting agenda physically and other documents in public locations, and then performing website updates and posting online alerts. Often you have technology students that would be very interested in having that opportunity, and then pick up and delivery of district documents. So this supports the expectations and responsibilities of the interim general manager number 9, which is the staffing and sourcing component in identifying a plan for the future. The student intern would present a cost saving measure in covering functions that would otherwise be performed by staff at higher rates of pay. The proposed hourly rate for a student intern would be about $18 to $20 per hour. I pulled other cities in the area to see what their rates are. Some are higher, but they have higher expectations for those positions. And I estimate that the weekly hours could be 5 to 10, fluctuating with needs, but I would say it may be on the lower end, and there would be some weeks where they might not even have 5 hours. And I did an annual estimate of $7,500, that we'd be included in the fiscal year 2020-21 budget. And then for this fiscal year, if there is an opportunity to get anyone the last few weeks, the $200 that might come into play would be funded by savings and professional consulting services. So I crafted an ad of just the basic information, really summarizing what I just went over and kind of encouraging a student to apply. And then And it could be posted to the district website or other physical posting areas in the community. And then a job description, which is really a brief one page that goes into just a little bit more detail about the qualifications that they need to be a student with a university, and just talks about the position. So I'm happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, I have one question, Mary. In this day of COVID and everybody's working at home, how I assume that the intern would also be working from home. So a lot of the duties that you mentioned, answer being in the office,
right?
Obviously, how are you going to work around that?
Well, in the meantime, they could be the things such as posting the agenda physically, because that's outdoors, and that would be done. An email can be done remotely, and then posting to the website can be done remotely. So those functions that would be able to be done in the meantime could be performed, and the others may just have to wait.
Yeah, I'm looking at the examples of essential duties, and I think all of them can be performed now, and including that there really are workarounds for picking up district documents at the public safety building. For example, you can send an email to let the police chief and the fire chief know that you're coming and arrange for somebody to leave all the documents in a bag outside of the door. I've been picking up documents myself, and wearing a mask, it's entirely workable. And then, like you said, telephone, email, you can check the voicemail remotely. Mm-hmm. So I think it's very workable. Let me see what's going on. Any other board member comments? I'm going to mute myself, and you can make your comments.
It's unfortunate that Berkeley and other places aren't in session. All the students have gone home, so we're kind of working on local people. I'm just trying to think whether any university, email boards for departments like computer science or engineering or business might have undergrads they could contact.
Okay.
I don't know. I just don't know, because they're all scattered to the four winds, so we have way less of a pool than we might ordinarily have.
Yes, that's a good point.
Well, I think also, Kevin, isn't the idea of an intern that while the person is doing work at pretty low wages, they are gaining information, they're learning something, and that will help them in their future studies. And I'm not sure how this works in. Like, for example, when the traffic study, they clearly weren't paid enough, but they learned a hell of a lot. And I'm not sure how this is going to work. It's
well, those guys were graduate students. It sounds like Mary's looking for an undergrad. It's just a question of the local pool is depopulated because everyone's taken off for home. On the other hand, there could be some people who live locally in Kensington who would want the job, but we may have to realize that they may not be ideal in their major, but they've got the skills. I don't know. The main thing is, how do we get this in front of the noses of people like that?
Yeah, I think the students are around. The campus is reopening 80% of its buildings this week. They're reopening research this week. And there are a lot of graduate students. I have graduate students who live in my neighborhood who have private housing. The undergrads in the dorm, they were given the option to go home. But individuals who live in private housing, most of them have stuck it out. They're still being paid as graduate student researchers, so I think they're still around, as well as some postdocs.
Yeah, you'd have a better shot at grad students right now.
I think Mary said grad or undergrad.
Yeah, I mean, it's open to definitely anyone who is interested in applying that fits the student description. It's I it would be up to me to try to find who they are, where they are, and definitely I'd take input as to where I might find that.
All right, any other board member comments?
So let's hearing none, I'll be happy to make a motion that we approve Mary's proposal.
Thank you, Jen.
I second that motion.
Thank you, Larry. I do have to take public comment. I'm not sure if I've been granted co-host access. I can't see the public.
It shows you as host.
Host.
On my screen.
Well, maybe I'll let you. Do you see public? And does anyone have their hands raised?
Yeah, Linnea has her hand up.
I see part of it.
I can't see that. Let's see.
Go into panelists and look at attendees under participants.
I just had to change. Okay, very good. All right, Linnea, I am calling on you, allowing you to talk.
I just had a suggestion about finding someone. The summer camp has been canceled. The KCC summer camp. And there were like 6 or 7 counselors who had been hired, all of whom are undergrads, local, to serve as counselors for the kids. And so they no longer have a job as of 2 days ago. So it might be worthwhile to check with KCC.
Okay. Thank you.
Great suggestion. Thank you. Any other, so now I'm going to mute you again. And any other public comment? I'm not seeing any hands raised. By the way, Don is on the phone with me. Oh, okay. And be able to listen. So I think we can, let's see how this works. Go ahead and take a vote. And so it's a roll call vote. I vote.
Julie, Cyrus has his hand raised.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Larry. Go ahead.
Hi. I was just remembering, I think the campus also had like a portal for posting jobs for like students seeking internships.
Okay.
Like I'm trying to remember with like through the student career center or something. I can double check the link and send it if it's of any use.
That'd be great.
Sounds good. All right. Thank you. Okay, then I don't see any other public comment, so I'm going to call the vote on Janice's motion. I vote in favor. Kevin is the vice president.
In favor.
Janice.
Aye.
Larry.
Yes.
Don, are you following all this? Can you vote?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I am. I'll say yes.
Okay, did you guys hear that?
Yes.
Okay, so that's 5 in favor. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mary, maybe in between agenda items, could you resend that in the panelist invitation?
Yeah.
I think there's a way that I can do it too, but actually. I think I can do it too. So let me try this. Everything is a mess. All right, Don, I just sent it to you as well now that I have co-host status. So why don't you look for that? It would have come either from me or from Mary, but I'll keep you on the phone here as we move to the next item. And then when we see you in the conference, then we can hang up our phone call.
Okay, I'll watch for this. I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, perfect.
And I sent it as well, so you'll get it a whole bunch of times.
There we go. Okay. All right. We're moving on to the next item, which is consideration of authorizing the interim general manager to hire for temporary administrative support from a staffing agency. And there is a supporting document for this. And Mary, I'll turn it back to you to present this item.
Okay, thank you. This goes along the lines of the previous item, though this is a higher level administrative type of support as we're transitioning away from the current provider. So this would be more of the assisting with typing of the documents and the agendas and making sure that all of that flows as it should. The budget that I estimated would be $21,000. So this is an administrative assistant type of position. I contacted a temporary staffing agency because often that's the easiest way to find some help. And I've worked with some of those in the area of Kensington in the last number of years. And they have a range of candidates that would potentially be available. And at the point I drafted the staff report, I listed $35 to $50 per hour, not knowing what the rate would be. And they gave me a rate, depending on the candidate's qualifications, of $36 to $41 an hour. So it's a little bit less. And this would be the kind of tasks would be the more complex administrative tasks and then phone calls when we're actually in the office again, though there are voicemails to monitor remotely, and then recording board actions during meetings to help facilitate the flow of that. And with the estimate number of hours, I would say in the 5 to 10 range, probably kind of middle of the range would be average 7 to 8 hours. So the estimate on this one would be $21,000, which would be then, if approved, budgeted in the fiscal year 2020-21 salaries and wages budget. And then with the current estimate, if we were able to get a temporary in the last couple of weeks of June, the $80 would be funded by savings and professional consulting. And so I put together in this one, just kind of all of the ones that I've suggested thus far, so that you have kind of a total in your mind. So with the current interim general manager, the student intern, and then the accounting assistance and the administrative support suggested here, the total annual amount would be $145,000 for all of those, so that it's, so that you're aware it's not terribly high. It's in the realm of what the administrative costs would be. This is still under evaluation as far as the long-term plan, and the formal plan would be provided later, but this is temporary help to kind of help see what the flow will look like. And then it wouldn't obligate the district until we actually know what the solid staffing sourcing plan might be. And then I included a position description, though with a temporary agency, you don't need that, but it helps to give them an idea of the kind of person that you'd be looking to fill the role with the different types of activities. So I've just really expanded on what I just talked about in the staff report and tried to list the number of years of experience that might be helpful to see from a candidate as well. And I'm happy to answer any questions on that one also.
Mary, this sounds very much like a clerk of the board type position. Is that your intent there?
Not exactly. I didn't ask that they have that level of experience because I can monitor that and take the higher level tasks from that. They'd be more of just taking notes and helping to, so that between both of us, we could keep all of the actions recorded properly. So not exactly a clerk of the board, but assisting with that function.
Who would be taking the minutes? Would the assistant, or are you going to continue to take the minutes?
Well, it could be a combination of both. They could help to take those, but I obviously have to pay attention to what those are. So it would be a combination as well.
Okay, great. Thanks, Don. I'm hanging up. Okay. All right. I didn't see Don join, but that's because I can't quite see all the panelists. Sorry.
I think he may be with the attendees.
Oh.
Let's see.
He is. There he is.
Okay. Let's promote him to panelist. And he should, now he's there. All right, Don, we promoted you to panelist.
Okay. Congratulations.
All right, it looks like your camera's not on yet, but I'm gonna unmute you. But okay, well, Mary, I appreciate you focusing your attention to try to calibrate the tasks to an appropriate salary level for the tasks. This was something that our board discussed at its March 4th meeting before we knew we would be seeking an interim general manager, but we talked about how important we thought it was to, you know, match the compensation level to the work performed. So I, for me personally, I appreciate the work you're doing here.
Thank you.
To achieve that goal. Mm-hmm. Board member comments.
I think it's a great idea. Anything that can distribute the labor a little bit. We've always said that we want two people so that if one person is sick or out or whatever, there would be some continuity. So I think this is a great idea.
Thank you.
I might have missed it, Mary, but would this person or would you supervise the student intern?
It could be a combination. If the administrative person were in a position to know what the student intern was working on, they could. I put in the description for the student intern that they'd receive direction from either the general manager or administrative staff. So it could be either.
Any other board member comments?
We don't.
Now
we don't
move that we accept Mary's.
We don't have to advertise this openly because it's a temporary position.
Right. This is just going through a temporary agency to fill a temporary need until we establish what the regular need might be, and then I come back for approval on that. So this.
Great. Thank you.
Yes.
All right, so sorry, Janice, I think you were interrupted there. You made a motion to approve Mary's proposal.
Correct.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that motion.
Okay, thank you. Let's see if we have any public comment. Just for everyone's information, we've got 13 members of the public in attendance. And I'm not seeing any hands raised. So I will go ahead and call the vote. I vote in favor. Kevin?
In favor.
Don?
In favor.
Janice?
Aye.
Larry?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries 5-0. Thank you very much, Mary.
Thank you very much.
All right, so now we move on to item number 4, which is presentation on the public safety building renovation evaluation and discussion of next steps, including possible selection of design alternative. Our presentation is being delivered today by Mr. Mallory Kusenberry of Ross Drewless Kusenberry Architecture. Mallory is a panelist today, so thank you for joining us today, Mallory. Much appreciated.
So can I raise a point of order before we begin, please, Julie?
Okay.
My understanding is that the Community Services District has not budgeted any funds towards the renovation and does not have the capability of paying for a proportionate share. That, were we to pay the entire cost of renovation and allocate any space in the building to the Community Services District, that would violate the statutory authority we have as a fire protection district. It would also be an unconstitutional gift of public funds, and it would make each director who voted for that personally liable for an excess of $2 million. So I don't think we have anything to discuss today. I think our only possible alternative is the first alternative that we were shown back in November.
Can we comment on a point of order, or is the point of order just being made?
Convinced that that is something that should stop us from hearing this presentation. The board voted on an extra, I forget what it's called, ESR, extra service agreement to invite Mr. Kusenberry to give us an update on the public safety building, and we did not condition that upon any discussion or decision about finances.
Well, that's before we knew that they had budgeted zero for the renovation.
You know, we haven't finished our budgeting for the renovation either.
Another part of this is that maybe they don't contribute to the building, but they pay rent in perpetuity. So maybe they don't have to figure out their part of the building as a lump sum. We haven't discussed financial arrangements yet. I think Julie's right. It doesn't mean you can't talk about the building.
They may not know what to budget. It's been my understanding that their general manager is seeking an engagement with the cost estimator to get a sense of the cost of what their share would look like. So he, you know, I can't speak for him, but he may have a perspective that until he knows what their approximate cost is, it's not possible for him to budget for it. And we would expect him and Mary to engage in conversations about cost sharing. What our board has not heard is about the two new alternatives that were developed under the engagement between RDC and KPP-CSD. What are the trade-offs that the fire department would have to make for those options? What is Chief Pagoni's assessment of those trade-offs? So, you know, if someone wants to make a motion and it's seconded to shut down the presentation, then I think there's nothing we could do. But otherwise, I think we just go forward.
Well,
let's see. A little, just picking up where Kevin was, we could also do a kind of a loan too. It would be, it amount to be the same thing, which would not get us in trouble.
I just like to make the comment that what I believe is on the agenda right now are two new proposals that the Kensington Fire Protection District has not seen yet, and they were generated by the Kensington Police CSD, Police Protection Community Service District. They're not our proposals, they're somebody else's proposals. Is that correct?
Say that again.
Yes, okay, I'll say it again. My understanding, there's three options on the table. One, which we've already approved, option A, and two more, option B and option C, which are not our proposals. They are the proposals of the KPPCSD.
And that's not, that's,
we've
that's
not it. Seen them before.
That's not true. You did get a set of drawings about a month ago. Mallory, do you remember when that, let's see, well, I'll
remember. Approximately a month ago.
I'd like to cut to the chase here. So does someone on our board want to make a motion to shut down the meeting now? Okay, hearing no motion, then I would like to turn the floor over to Mr. Kusenberry to make his presentation.
Thank you. Larry, your question is noted, and I will address that as best I can as I begin. I'm going to share my screen if that's okay with everybody. I need to be enabled to share screen share. I've been disabled.
I'm not hearing anything.
I think Julie's muted.
Julie's muted.
Sorry, I'm trying to find the setting that would allow you to share your screen. I'm not seeing an individual setting for you since you're a panelist. So just my apologies here. Okay. Now you should be able to share your screen.
Excellent.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
Oh, good.
And you should all be seeing a screen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. All right. What I was saying also, Larry, is I will address your point as well. as I go through this, your question, try to answer the, so I give a sense of what does, what has been going on for the last 4 or 5 months that we've been working on this. So my apologies for starting with a very wordy slide, but I thought this was a helpful way to give us a synopsis of what we've done in the interim. What you see here are the list of next steps that we presented to this board and to the public at our last public forum, which occurred on November 16th of last year. And we had, as you recall, we had presented the fire-only scheme and discussed it with, there was community discussion about it. And at the end of our show, we had presented these next steps. I'll go through them briefly and then I will give a status report for each one of them. The first step was to determine the scope target, whether it's the fire department only or a combination of the fire department and the police department. The second step was to establish a budget to actually know how much money we have to spend and what the scope of the project can be, and then consider value engineering the scope, because as everyone knows by now, we have some limitations based on the seismic regulations that will allow us only to build up to a certain value. So the second step was to establish that budget and reconcile the scope. The third step was to actually create a functional working group so we could make some progress and study additional options. One was to form a steering committee. Two was to authorize the steering committee to make decisions separate from the board, provisional ongoing decisions that could then be brought back to a final decision for the board. The third would be to creatively explore remaining scenarios, and the fourth would be to prepare some solution options for discussion. And then the last next step was to return to the community with solutions. So the status of the first item is clearly it's still underway. That's an open item, whether or not it's the police department and the fire department or just the fire department, as evidenced by some of the initial conversation in this meeting. So that's underway, no status change on that. The second item, the reconciling the budget and the scope. We have done through actually MAC 5 has prepared a preliminary estimate. I'm not gonna be going into the details of that estimate, but just to summarize that right now, in broad numbers, the belief is that the replacement cost of the existing public safety building is somewhere in the realm of around $8 million. The current scope, loosely speaking, is in the range of around $4 million. Now, again, I'm rounding. In fact, it's a little less than $8 million for the replacement cost and a little bit over $4 million for the renovation. So it means we're about $200,000 off. But since this is still just conceptual design, we felt like, as it is for right now, the scope and the potential budget are pretty close, though it will be extremely tight. What that means is there's not a lot of, we can't do a lot of bells and whistles. We have to be very rigorous about the renovation to make sure that we're not spending funds that are not going to be available to us, or you know, money that we can't spend because of the seismic restrictions. So that item, for now, we consider closed, and we have enough information to proceed. The third item, and this is to your question, Larry, how this engagement went for the last few months. We, in fact, didn't have one steering committee. The thought was to have everybody working together, but in fact, it was two separate. My firm worked independently with the fire district and then with the community protection district, and we developed, there was communication going between individuals during this whole process, so nothing was made in a vacuum, but we worked independently on the floor plans for the different sides and are now bringing it together, and we're going to bring them independently to the different boards as well. We have not brought it to the other board yet because they're not ready for it, but we're bringing it to you now for some discussion. And in fact, item number four, preparing the solution options for discussion, is in fact the topic of today's meeting. And then for the last item, obviously that's pending. We're not going to go back to the community until we have made some more progress, and this board would instruct us when it's a good time to reach out again in a broader way at a larger community forum and generate feedback on it. So the focus that I'm going to have for this presentation is just this component, which is the item four, the topic of this meeting, which is to prepare solution options for discussion. We've broken it into three options, just to simplify. Option A is the version that you have already reviewed. It was the version that we had presented at the last public forum. It is the fire department only. since that forum, we have done no additional work on that scheme. So that scheme stands as previously seen. Option B is a scenario where we have a shared police and fire, but we assume what we consider the best case scenario. And two of the variables that we're considering here, and as we discussed this previously, is whether or not we're gonna need an elevator, which would have significant impact on the available area, and whether or not we can close up the upstairs balcony. Both of those, information on both of those will come out of subsequent conversations that we're gonna have with the county approval agencies. And so those are unknown. So right now for option B, we're gonna assume the best case scenario. We don't have to provide an elevator and we can enclose the upstairs balcony. Option C is the fallback option. It's the worst case scenario. It's the split facility, police and fire, but we would be required to have an elevator and we would not be able to enclose the balcony. So these are just distilling the, now obviously the reality may end up being somewhere in between some of these, but we've simplified it into three for the sake of discussion. And I'm gonna go through some of the themes. And, please stop me if you have questions along the way. I have the existing building plans available for reference. I'm gonna cruise through those quickly. And I also have the option A, fire department only plans available for reference. I'm not gonna spend time on those now. You've seen those in detail previously, but this is fire department upstairs and downstairs. And I will jump right now to option B. And yes, the area that's designated in blue, dark and light blue, for the police department, this was worked in collaboration with the police department, members of the board from the community protection district. And so this has been vetted. And we have also been given permission to present this today in this forum as well. So what you see here are three general areas on the ground floor. We're looking at level one, option B. The blue is police, the tan brown is shared areas, and the gray is fire department. And as you'll recall, I'm gonna start on the left of the fire department. As you're gonna recall, in a previous proposals, we have decommissioned one of the three apparatus bays and provided extra, and I hope you can see my cursor, let me know if you can't. But we have reconfigured one of the apparatus bays for turnout room for decontamination and the workshop and EMS storage. And basically taking a lot of the stuff that was cramping the apparatus bays and constraining their functionality and put it into one of the bays, giving us much more available space for the two remaining bays. Those would be the changes in the fire department. In the shared areas, there would be an enlarged shared lobby that the public would come into, a shared conference room and interview room. For the police department, it would be utilized as a witness interview, victim interview, witness interview room. And for the fire department, it would be a room where the fire department could meet with the public, whether it's vendors or other members of the public, which means that active duty personnel who would be upstairs could come downstairs, and it would be upon this where we would take the position that an elevator is not needed because the public does not need to go upstairs. So this room would need to be shared in this scenario. The primary reception would be from the police department at the front door with access to the PD in this location. We have done all that we could within this scenario to contain the police department within a restricted envelope so that you minimize the crossing of paths. The only path that really needs to be crossed for the police department is, in addition to entering and exiting the building, is the shared staff restroom. But other than that, you would enter the police department. There's a reception area here with the assistant and receptionist. There is a briefing and conference room that has been moved to the front of the building. There are two private offices, chief and captain's offices. There is a small consolidated single-use locker room, multiple lockers, but only one person at a time. And then two spaces within an open office area, two workstations, small kitchenette, and a copy room in that space. Chief Pagoni, you'll recall there was some dialogue previously about something the police department had requested, which is a cuffing bench. That is now out of the shared area, and that currently occurs right here in a fold-down bench nested into the wall, 36-inch fold-down stainless steel cuffing bench. So that none of those things happen in any shared overlapping areas. So that in its entirety is the police department. There's an evidence area here. There's a shared log generator. And then this is now the radio map alcove for the fire department. So it's easily accessible when you come down the stairs on the way during a response. And there is a water fountain, which will be required to put in by code, and an accessible staff restroom. Any questions on the ground floor before I go to the second level? Second level then is, this again is the best case scenario, the maximum available space. So we are not showing an elevator, and we are assuming that the deck can be closed in. The deck is in this area here, just to remind everybody. You know, I didn't do a general orientation, I apologize. The Arlington is down here on the bottom. North is to the left. Should have given that orientation to begin. All right, so upstairs, in the expanded deck area, we have a day room and dining room combined here. The station office has moved into this central area at the top of, near the entrance to the upstairs station. And we have an enlarged kitchen with three refrigerators and three pantries, improving the general size and functionality of all of these areas, which are currently very cramped. We are showing a reduction in the size of the electrical communication IT room to fit a captain's office. It is not confirmed that that is achievable. That is something that will need to be verified when we go into greater detail in the technology, but for right now, that is our ambition to fit that there. We're also showing the laundry room in its current location, which requires verification as well for accessibility and getting to the room, particularly in the second, in the scheme C. Nonetheless, we are proceeding with these, assuming that we'll be able to do them. When you get to the top of the stairs, here's the staircase from down below. There's a restroom, that's a shared restroom, some storage. And we have a fitness room in this location, two adequately sized bathrooms, and then three sleep rooms with two beds each. The lockers are inside the room, six lockers total. And there's room for a small desk in each of the bedrooms. So that is the overview of option B, best case scenario. Worst case scenario then is if we have to provide an elevator and things shift around. I'm gonna, excuse me, I have something I need to erase. Okay, my mistake. All right, so we are on to option C. And so the shared area looks a little bit different because with the addition of the elevator, the police department gets much smaller. I will say that the police department currently does not feel that this is functional and will meet their needs, but we have not pursued it because the directive currently from the police department is, let's wait and see if we need the elevator. If we need the elevator, we'll do what we can and we'll look at it in greater detail then. But at this point, this has not been approved as an option. It's just shown as a way to validate the implications of adding the elevator and the implications it has in the PD. One request that we did get from the police department is that should the elevator be needed, they would at least need to take over the area that was the shared room at the entryway to try to get as much space as possible. So when this is reconfigured, there might be the possibility of getting a few more employees into the space, who currently do not fit. So the layout should not be taken literally, but the general space available is accurate. The reason that we could consider, that this board could consider not sharing that entry room, is that now that you have an elevator, the public would be allowed to come upstairs. So the requirement for having that room in option B when you don't have the elevator isn't present here, because a vendor or a member of the public who's going upstairs could take the elevator upstairs. So you have a shared lobby area, shared corridor, the wrap map alcove is here again, the elevator is here, and the staff shared restroom has been displaced to this location. Fire department side is the same. And as I mentioned, the police department is not approved. It's just broad stroke concept to look at the space implications. Upstairs then, again, worst case scenario. So we have an elevator, which has impacted the space upstairs, and we have no outdoor terrace. And we have the displaced, we have to locate a couple of things, such as the station office. So in this case, the station office is located here. The day room is located in the niche here. We have had to add a lift, ADA lift, for the split level that exists currently in the building. The dining is very constrained. It's in a booth configuration. You can still get six people around it, but you have to pass others to get to it. And that's in large part driven by getting a door into the captain's office. So you can't have a table in the space because you have to have ADA clearance to get to that door. And the kitchen is smaller in this case. The bedrooms are the same, bathrooms and the fitness. So this side of the building is generally the same as the previous option. We have provided this information just to give you a sense for what the square footage split is between the different schemes. I would say between option B, and since option A is not listed here because that's 100% fire department, but for B and C, which are shared, basically the difference is marked in the shared area, that there's more shared area on level one in option B and less shared area. And there's a little more police department space than option B in option C as opposed to option B. And upstairs for the fire department, there's a significant reduction in the net square feet because of the lack of utilizing the deck. So in closing then, we have two items that we would like to initiate for discussion with the board relative to these. We could register preferences, though we're not required to have you select anything at this point. But what we would like to do is to be able to have plans cut loose, and that we are given authority to then take whichever plans are cut loose and initiate the next wave of conversations with the county so we can get more detailed information on whether or not we're going to need an elevator and whether or not we're going to have to close in the deck. And we just need something to show them. They had suggested there was some potential dialogue that could occur, maybe some flexibility, but they would need to see an agreed upon plan that we would then discuss. So relative to the options that we showed you, for option A, we have no formal recommendation. Obviously, that's a board decision as to who's in the building and who's not, so we offer no opinion on that. For options B and C, our recommendation is that we proceed with both for now, because it's good to have a fallback option. We don't know which way we're gonna go. If we proceed with, for instance, just the best case scenario, we run the risk of having to backtrack later. And what we'd like to be able to do is have a conversation with the county, show them the worst case scenario and show the implications of having to do these things and what the impacts are of the elevator and the deck, and show the hardship that it would be with a restricted space, and use that as a way to help them understand why it's important to try to get as much space as part of this renovation as possible. So the primary action item that we hope is that at least to leave this meeting with a direction that we can then initiate the next wave of conversations with the county. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, I have a question probably. I don't know who it's directed at. My understanding was back in November, we agreed that we were going to form a so-called 2x2 committee, which was going to have public meetings and hash all these options out so that the public would be aware of them. To my knowledge, this is the first time the public has seen any of this. When are we going to, is the 2x2 committee now going to get involved now that we have this presentation, or when is this 2x2 committee going to get involved so that the public can know what the options are?
Well, Mary, I can tell you that Don and I have been trying to have a 2x2 committee meeting since last February. Our only request for the agenda was that it included at least one programmatic item related to the public safety building. And we suggested that that item be an understanding of the needs of the police in the building. For us, the staff from both sides were trying to schedule the meeting. So for us, Glenn was working on that. As a contractor, and we were told in early March that the the two members from the KPP CSD were not willing to meet if the agenda needed to include an item related to the actual programmatic element for which the committee was charged to discuss. So we've maintained our availability, but anyway, that's what we know.
And I know I had a discussion with Bill earlier today, and that part of that was making sure he had no issue with the plans being included here. And he has some ideas on what we might do to try to work together, either he and I, or work together to try to get committees together in the future. So that's a potential option.
Don, since you're the other member of the committee from the fire board side, did you want to offer anything else?
No, I think you've brought it out pretty clearly, so I'm okay.
Okay.
I mean, it was pretty clear. They were not going to meet with us, so it's that's the way that went.
Yeah, exactly. Mallory, sorry, Larry, go ahead.
So there's no meetings of the 2x2 planned in the future. There's what we told the public that we were going to let them in on this is not going to happen.
I don't think anyone said it's not going to happen. Don and I remain available, and I think now that Mary is on board, she's trying to work this out with Mr. Lindsay. That's what I understood Mary to say.
Yes, and my understanding is that they'll be talking on their side of it later, either June or early July, and we'd know more about potentially their direction to him so that we could proceed with any kind of committee update after that.
So I have a question for Mallory. Mallory, I think you ended your presentation by saying that you recommend that we proceed with both options B and C, and I believe that was in the context of getting a ruling on the elevator. And my question for you is, how much difference does it make in terms of who occupies the first floor when it comes to the county's decision on an elevator? In other words, if the police are on the first floor versus fire and fire district staff on the first floor, is that a factor that weighs into the county's decision about the elevator?
It might. Yes, because the scenario that I'll describe to you is, let's take the station office. In the scenario where the fire department has the entire building, the station office and what could be construed as staff areas are on the ground floor, and they would be fully accessible. In the event that we put them upstairs, we are explaining that the station office in that case is only staffed by active duty personnel, and active duty personnel by definition are required to be able-bodied. Therefore, the accessibility could be considered to be waived in that context. But it becomes between the all fire or the police fire scenarios. That's my answer there. Whether or not it's police or fire downstairs, where it matters more is that they know that police is not upstairs, because that's where it starts to come into play. So we would have to, if there's a scenario where the police are considered, but we're not showing where they're going, it always opens the possibility that some police functions are upstairs, and they say, well, then you certainly are going to need to have the elevator. And so if we're able to say confidently, should the police be included, they will be on the ground floor in their entirety. That will help the county make a decision. Am I answering your question, Julie? Is that?
I think so. I mean, as a follow-on question, and then I'll let others ask their question, what degree of fleshing out of the plans has to be achieved before the county would be willing to give more than just sort of an answer like we got last time that basically had an asterisk at the bottom of the email saying this is all subject to change. I mean, how far along would you need to develop the plans before you think that the county would give something more concrete?
It's hard to say. Certainly we need to show at least the conceptual layouts to initiate that level of discussion. And I feel like at that level of discussion, the plans we have now are adequate. The determination is never final until the building is permitted. So there is always the chance that further down the road, there may be a change in the code or a change in the interpretation of the code, depending on who is doing the approvals. So I want to be clear that even if they say, yes, you can proceed without putting the elevator in, it's not a guarantee, which is a condition that we just live with as part of the process on getting building approvals. And I wish it were more dependable, but it's not. There's always it's always open-ended to a certain degree.
We have a new code coming up. When we would working under the existing code or the next code?
We would definitely be working under the next code.
I think so, yeah. Okay.
And does the same degree of uncertainty apply to including the deck, which I understand really only impacts fire, but
I don't know that, and that's a new area for us. And I think I won't speak to that until we actually go through and have more extended conversations. That has to do with right now our interpretation of what the restrictions are. And we need to talk to them. We haven't had that extended conversation with them yet on that. So I don't know. That one I suspect may be more concrete, more finite, that they'll be able to give us an answer. And then that one might have more lasting determination.
Is the basis for that is more the occupancy load than the accessibility, if I understand it correctly?
For the deck, it's the parameters that we're working from, keep in mind it's based on legislation. And the legislation has said that you can't increase the size of the building or the occupancy of the building. Now, what it means to increase the size of the building, whether that means you're increasing the footprint, as in you're expanding the building on the ground, or increasing the interior area, it's ambiguous. And so we're proceeding on the assumption that, in the best case scenario, that we're not expanding the footprint of the building. We're not making it occupy any ground. We're not moving any closer to we're just enclosing an area that would have been occupied anyway. We use it for interior functions. And because of the changes that we've made in the apparatus bay, we're actually not increasing the occupancy. We're actually slightly reducing the occupancy of the building. So we feel we have a position, but there's enough ambiguity in our understanding of the code that we want to get that confirmed. So it's an interpretation that we're looking for.
Okay, I have more questions, but I'd like to ask other board members if you have questions.
Yeah, I have a question that I'd like to ask, and that is in both option B and option C that we're looking at here, in your professional opinion, are these two plans for the police district? Now, I'm not worried about the fire district. As far as the police district is concerned, are these plans adequate for the police department, and are they consistent with the best practices for design of modern police departments?
In my response to that, I want to defer initially to feedback that we received from the police department themselves, which is that yes, they feel that they can make this work operationally and this meets the requirement. And at this point, from our standpoint, that's the highest standard, that we want to make sure that what they believe they're going to be doing, they can achieve in this facility. And right now on option B, the answer is yes. The answer we've received is yes. On option C, the answer we've received is no. in terms of best practices, there are definitely areas that are suffering relative to best practices because of the severe restrictions in space. For instance, it's very unusual to have a single locker room that's not gender divided, where you can only let one person in at a time. But that was really the only way to get private locker changing space into the facility. So it's a sacrifice. It's not, it doesn't really align with best practices, but the space doesn't allow for that. So this is a solution that the police department has said is acceptable. The office spaces and the workspaces are consistent with, you know, what's built in various departments and various agencies. So yes, that's consistent. The briefing room is adequate for the size of a unit. So in large part, the answer is yes. But as I said, the primary factor is that the police department appears to be happy with.
So was it the police chief who indicated that option C is not viable?
Yes. And it was in those conversations that it was determined that further sacrifices are required based on this. And we did not, as I said, did not have the conversation about those sacrifices until we really know that we have to go down this road.
Other board member questions?
I have two questions. This is so small, I'm having trouble seeing it. But as I recall, one of the options, B or C, had a sleep room in it. Is that correct?
For the fire department or the police department?
For the police department. Downstairs, no. A sleep room for police.
No, none of them had the sleep room.
Am I looking at an earlier iteration then?
Possibly. I can enlarge the screen if you're having difficulty seeing it on the screen.
Yeah, it's so hard. I'm on a cell phone, which makes it very, yeah.
So I'll zoom in.
Okay.
So you can see in the, sorry, please go ahead.
Okay. It must have been an earlier iteration where I saw the sleep room, to which I was violently opposed. two, I'm not aware that any fire station has no conference room in it. We had a conference room in our plan A. My concern is that we would be the command center in the event of a regional problem like an earthquake or a fire, and given El Cerrito's financial problems, I'm not sure we can count on the availability of their conference rooms. So we don't have any place where we can meet other than in the teeny tiny kitchen upstairs for where the dining room for the firefighters. So we have nowhere where directors could meet. We could nowhere for a regional command center. And I can't believe that's best practices in fire department configuration.
Can I add a little bit to that?
Well, I'd like to hear his response before you add to it, Don.
Okay.
It's having a departmental operations center is definitely preferable, no doubt, absolutely. And I think what this is evidence of is a series of compromises that result from fitting things in. But yes, having a departmental, shared departmental operations center where the fire department can mobilize on site during an emergency and coordinate with the emergency operations, the central emergency operations center elsewhere, would be a good thing. And it's not in either of these schemes. I will mention something which has not been discussed previously, but is, you know, may partly address that. I don't know. It's tricky because, but what we are, there still is a briefing room, and I don't know how that would be utilized. You know, actually I can't speak to that. So right now it's not shown that way. So, Your observation is correct.
So, Don, you wanted to make a comment?
Yeah. What's interesting thing is that, you know, you and I have seen four different chiefs, And I don't remember one of them ever saying that they saw that as a operation center. They just, it just like it didn't exist. When I talked to Lance about upgrading the structural youth hut to the essential facility so we could use it there, and he said no. And anything that would happen down in the city hall or some other place at their, you know, that they would have. So it's not been given much thought. Our Fagoni said that he has a list of, and he's here, I think, a list of four places where operation centers could be, and we are number four. You know, and if you look at it, it's so small that it's would not be, it's, you know, it's never been wired. It doesn't have any media stuff. It's, you know, it's just been neglected. And I think we could get along with the three that they have. That was a hard decision to make. And I think it was, if we kept the conference room, the police would be out of it. They couldn't get to first base. And there's a sort of dilemma about how you balance these things out. And I came to think about the building a little bit differently, that we have title to it, we're the landlords, but really it's the community's facility. And it seemed to me we got an awful lot of comments about somehow squeezing police in. And so that was in order to have that happen, we would have to give up the meeting room in there. And so I think that was a reasonable decision to make. It's not like other things, it's not perfect. I think the upstairs for fire is done really pretty well. I'm happy with how that got resolved. It's a chance. Well, I'm not gonna put it upstairs, but anyway, they would have more room for their own sort of meetings and things than they have now. So that's how I arrived at that. It was a simple choice of trying to meet the community's, you know, not the community sort of things we were hearing. And so that build, that conference room is not in the scheme.
Don, the board has not made that decision yet. The board has not made any decisions as to which of these options is preferable, right?
That's correct.
But you have to have something to look at. You have to see what can be accomplished in the building. And you have to think about all the aspects. Some of them is the community wants that we somehow make room for police. So, you know, you're seeing something. I think it meets community needs.
So Chief Pagoni, with respect to this command center, I saw you hold up three fingers that were the third alternative in the event of a disaster for a command center. Is there any way that that function, given that we're the third alternative, is there?
We're the fourth.
Third, I think he said third.
Well, no, we're the fourth. There's three ahead of us.
Command, as far as our new emergency operation plan, City Hall is our first emergency operation room. Alternative is going to be Station 72. Third alternative was going to be Station 65. At one point, I believe in the old plan, there was, which was done a long time ago, they looked at the community center in Kensington. That is not a viable option, being there's no power there, no emergency backup power. We do not have networking into that with it. In my comments that, in my last comments on those last prints that were done, comment number one is, among other things, was the desire to have a conference room, not only for, you know, for us to do training, but also to meet the public and not so much as an emergency operation room, but more as a departmental operations center, which would be for localized emergencies. You know, something that is just strictly centered within Kensington, whether it be police action or whether it be something fire or something that involves both. It would be a place for one or both of us to operate out of, you know, for a localized setting there. I mean, I have a number of other comments on other things, but as far as the as far as a conference room, I think I've been pretty steady on that one. That I mean, you know, if it's not it's not there. We will work around it. But if you want to know my preference, we need a conference room at something bigger than what's shown as that small little one in the front.
I agree.
I will. Concur to the size of the small one in the front, that would in no way be able to meet that function. So that's just that's a meeting room for 2 to 3 people at a time. It wouldn't work as a staging area. Can I ask a question in this conversation? Is this now an okay time?
So
would it be viable, since it's third down the line, it's not guaranteed as to be activated on a regular basis. It is beneficial when you talk about the community center versus other places, it's beneficial that whatever operations center you have, it be in an essential facility. And post-renovation, this will be up to the current seismic and resiliency standards. So this will meet the essential requirements. So it'll be survivable. With the additional room that we have in the apparatus bays, it may be possible to have a wired built-in closet that actually stores equipment for a departmental operations center, has plugins, has maybe fold-down tables, things like that stored in it, so that in the event that it does reach tier 3, you might consider using one of the apparatus bays for that. Like, you know, low likelihood, but still possibility. And that would give you a large space. And if we pre-think it, it could be pre-wired as well, so that you have the connectivity that you would require in that space. Is that something that should be considered as part of these schemes?
Well, that was going to be my question to Chief Pagoni, was whether, given that we're the third alternative, just what you suggested, Mallory, that somehow the apparatus space could be outfitted to serve that purpose. I understand that you talked about more of an ongoing need for a place to meet for training and that sort of thing, but just from the public safety emergency perspective, Mallory said it best, but my question is, would that work?
From the fire department side of it, I mean, yes, that, you know, anything we can make it, you know, that's the great thing about fire departments. We can make anything and everything work one way or the other. As far as we're talking about the apparatus room, I mean, that's still another, a totally different question is, you know, the fact we did lose storage in the apparatus room, that, you know, this design is taking away those, the storage lockers behind the apparatus bay closest to the building. You know, obviously that would be, I assume, the only place you could go and put, you know, this conceptual fold down tables with everything pre-wired in. But, you know, again, another concern that I have on any of these designs is we are seriously lacking storage in this building. You know, I mean, you've been in the apparatus room before. We have stuff just piled up in the back there. You know, one of the hopes that I had of, you know, if we're going to renovate this, is to add storage. In this particular case, we're taking it away.
Is it possible for you to show the fire-only option, Mallory, so that we could remind ourselves of that? So the storage room is it 120 square feet? Oh, more storage, well, I see.
Well, yeah, the chief is pointing out the storage that was back here, which we have removed because of the severe constraints that there are on parking the apparatus, on getting around them when there's a call, it's so cramped and so crowded in there. And so the thought was relocating those. This version doesn't adequately relocate it. The version that we were looking at previously, this version, we now have some of the stuff that's back here is EMS storage. So some of that's shown here. We do have hose storage here. So some of the things that are ringing in the apparatus bay have been consolidated into those areas. Turnout now is completely within its own room, as is decon. And so I don't, there may be some mezzanine space. I think we have a compressor up there, but there may be some mezzanine space for some incidental storage, long-term storage possibilities. But again, the goal was to free up the mobility within the apparatus bay. So that's on this version. Now going back to the previous version, fire only, in this one, we were only showing a small storage area on this floor. And actually, I would say not adequate over here. Our subsequent reconfigurations of the third apparatus bay or bay number one have improved the storage in that area.
So the net loss between option A and B for storage on the right hand side of the drawing is a loss of 100. Is it 100? Is it how many square?
It's only 38 square feet.
Square feet. Okay. Other board member questions.
Could I ask a couple of questions, please, Julie?
Yes, you've been very quiet, so please.
Well, I've learned a lot, and a lot of my questions have been answered. Thanks, Mallory, and thanks, Chief Pagoni, and everybody for filling in. There is a fire captain office, but no fire chief office. Now, I know that in the present configuration, the chief has a desk, but this is okay. Under no circumstances the chief needs an office?
There is not a fire chief office in the existing building. You have the office that Brenda used once, and then you have the paramedic office. Everything else is done in the bedrooms, which is, again, not what we like. It's us making do.
Yeah, okay. Now, in drawing A, there was a watch office of 200 square feet. In B and C, that has gone down to become a station office of a bit more than 50 square feet, so about a quarter of the size before. And who is envisioned as being there? If this is an essential services building, can some of the functioning be done at those? Because those would look like they're about the only workstations apart from the captain's office.
Which area are you talking about, Kevin? Are you talking about upstairs, or are you talking about right there where the cursor's at?
No, sir, on the upstairs for B and C. It looks like the 200-foot watch office has been reduced to what you're circling now. And that is, along with the captain's office, looks like the only sort of communication center. It seems that under A and B, you have a large dining table there that, you know, one supposes could be part of an emergency operation if you had to make it that way in the absence of a conference room. But in option C, that's a way smaller space, and you don't get to do that because you can't enclose the northwest corner of the building. So that's a real difference in what's going on. The training, the conference room that we have now, or training room, whatever you want to call it, is about 285 feet at present. And in all the other three drawings, it's reduced to 200 square feet. I think I understand Mallory to say the fire department will not have access to the first floor conference room in options B and C. That's entirely a police operation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Correct. Okay. So will the police department have any access to the second floor? And I guess the answer to that is also no.
No.
So they will not be able to use the refrigerators or eat up there or hang out in the day room. Okay, so what that does is it gives for the police department virtually no room for them to eat or rest, except maybe in the conference room. There's the kitchenette, which is just revealed to us, is about 7 feet of space. And I guess that's where you'd have to put the whole mini kitchen for the police, which seems like not much space to handle that for them. In option B and C, as you go on the first floor, looking at it there, this entering the building, the lobby, the second room is a reception and police aid. And that has two workstations. In plan B, they're a bit farther back in the building. There's an open office that has 250 square feet and there's two additional workstations, but it doesn't have the detective office that option C has. And so I guess the question is, how many of the stations in the reception room and the open office space could be occupied by police district non-uniform staff?
So I'm going to rephrase your question to make sure I understand it. Well, let me start a different way. The police aide is a minor role, and the primary administrative role is the receptionist administration position. And then these would be in lieu of the detective, because there isn't a detective office in this case. You're absolutely right. And so this would provide that function. I guess if you could repeat your question, I think I'm not fully understanding what your question was.
Well, you know, I'm looking at workstations here, and it's okay, so we agree that maybe the detective uses one of them. It's not clear, and I get there's a police aide, but that's again, it's not an enforcement position. There's a reception person there, which is district staff, so you've answered that question. I mean, another part of this is the way the design is, but who is to say that once the building is occupied that the police might decide to take the conference room and make that more of a staff office area, informal dining area, and something else. You know, we're facing a situation where our own district staff is going to be out of the building under options B and C. And, you know, maybe that's not a huge concern, but we do have to find offices elsewhere. I'm just interested whether, because as the chief says, you know, in option C, the fire department loses access to the first floor interview room. And so where on the second floor could the fire department, as you say, Mallory, interview vendors and so on? There's no conference area at all unless they're brought into the day room dining space, which, you know, may not be the end of the world. We just have to, you know, be very clear about what's happening here. I think I would have to agree with the police chief that option C is just not good for anybody.
Yeah, the other point, Kevin, that I would like to, you know, bring up, if you know, we're learning through this COVID-19, in option C, the option for the fire department, if we have someone coming in, whether it be someone wants to meet about weeds or an incident or a vendor, requires them to bring us, or requires the fire department to bring them into the, basically the living quarters of the fire department. Again, hopefully this crisis doesn't go on, but it's something, you know, we're learning. We would like to avoid bringing people all the way through a building just to meet with them, you know, when there could be options made to meet people, you know, right at the front of the building or at least on the first floor, and not be bringing them into, in essence, the living area.
Thank you.
I think that's an excellent point. And So that opens up, because this was aspirational. This was a request from the police department that if this dramatic loss of area were to occur, they felt that in order to make this space work, it was likely they would need this space. But we have not had a chance to talk with this group to determine whether that could even be put out there, because I think, Chief, your point is a good one, which is that, yes, you can get the public upstairs, but the only place to sit down and meet with them would be within one of the residential areas.
Well, it's that little tiny table in option C. It seats like 4 to 6 people as opposed to 10 people in options A and B. I mean, there's no space at all here.
Correct. And you could set something up there, depending on how you set up this area here, it might be possible, because again, you have an accessible path from the elevator to the ADA lift, and you could configure potentially a little meeting area here, depending on how you adjust these workstations. However, that doesn't negate the chief's observation, which is they're in the living quarters.
Yeah, and the day room is a lot more cramped in C. I don't see how you get a table or anything in there. It's tough.
The dining area is severely cramped.
Yeah.
Kevin, are you finished, or did you have more questions?
I have another one I'll wait on. I've talked enough for now. Sorry.
I want to switch gears, Mallory, and get back to cost. Where we left off from our September meeting, where you really gave a very thorough and excellent presentation, and this board elected not to flesh out the plans any further from that presentation and to go ahead and obtain cost estimates just sort of based on what the concept plan looked like back then. And so, you know, you've mentioned that we're at a little over $4 million for the renovation and a little under $8 million for the replacement. So there's some cost engineering to do. And I assume that that's still based on the fire only model. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So I was wondering, is there anything about the nature of the option B police renovations that would make them proportionately more expensive for the space than the fire-only model in option A, you know, that it would be significant? Like, is there, you know, security that's more expensive to renovate? Do you understand what I'm getting at? Like, does...
I absolutely do, yes. I absolutely do. It's an excellent question. And let me go back to B. It depends on how far we develop and the assumptions we make on the police remodel. And I'll just take one particular category as a case in point, and that is ballistics. So currently, if we were to remodel it based on the current assumptions for the police department, it would not have significant impact on the cost. But if we were to remodel this and have provisions for ballistic resistance in ways that the building does not currently have, perimeter as well as internal, so for instance, accidental discharge of a firearm within the building, those could have tremendous cost implications. And those are conversations that we've not had at all yet in any great detail, because I do want to remind everybody we're at a very conceptual level on the layouts. So those have not been incorporated into the current cost estimates. I don't think the technology within the police department is going to be any more expensive than it would be if it was fire department only. I don't think the infrastructure would be any more expensive. I think it'd be equal for both of them. There may be a few more card readers and security devices at entry points, because now you have a division of the departments as opposed to just one department. So that would be a little bit of a cost. I don't think it's significant, but it's there. I think it's mostly in the realm of ballistics, and depending on how far you take that, that could have a significant cost.
I understand that there was concern among the fire department that currently maybe the ballistic protection is not necessarily adequate. So this might be a factor then.
It could be a significant factor in our cost analysis and our cost engineering, because right now it's those are not in the cost estimate, in particular because it was a fire department only estimate, and we are already slightly over what we think we may be able to spend. Now, again, the caveat, we still need to confirm with the state that our methodology for determining the replacement cost is acceptable to them. So there still are some variables. We're just basing it on our current assumptions, but it's tight. There's not a lot of room to, for instance, to have comprehensive ballistic treatment.
You know, I'm not seeing where the ammunition and guns would be kept. we're talking about that. They clean their guns usually in a space like that. But where is it?
Right now, the idea is to provide
a
code acceptable storage, which is a DOT approved fireproof storage unit for the amount of rounds that are being stored, and that would occur here.
Okay, I missed it. Okay.
Yep. And so the storage container, because it can be isolated, can be designed and or specified to meet all the requirements for the storage of ammunition. It's the perimeter of the building and within the building that I'm speaking to.
So I'd like to turn it back to Mary to ask Mary, what kind of direction are you looking for from the board today?
So as Mallory mentioned, there's some steps that need to be taken with the county to get more information on some of the pieces like the elevator and the seismic that could affect the plans. And while there's not a decision on the exact plan, it seems that it would be a good idea to proceed with getting that information from the county in order to have all of the information at whatever point the board is ready to make a decision. But if we have all the background information, it would be better. So we're looking for staff direction on proceeding with the county and collecting any other information that Mallory might suggest or that the board might want more information on. And then as a part of that, we also talked about the potential for me to have a conversation with the GM for the Police Protection District, and we could work together and see what we can do on the committee as well, working toward the committee.
Before we do any of that, could we hear the rest of Chief Pagoni's comments on the three sets of plans, please?
Sure, yeah, sounds great.
Sorry, I had to get something to drink.
Oh, right when I was calling on you.
What was your question, Janice?
I wanted to get the rest of your input on these three sets of plans, because we've never really got the benefit of your expertise on these. You've made a couple comments, but I'd like to make sure we hear all of your comments before we decide how we're going to go forward here.
Mike, you're muted.
Yep, I know. I keep forgetting to push the button down. As far as the option B, which is obviously the assumption of no elevator in there, as we've already talked about, my bigger concern is the lack of the conference room. In dealing with the upstairs part, when one of the concerns that I had sent to Mallory was the fact that we had no office for the captain. What I've seen on these revised plans now is, we're basically trying to cut that electrical room down, which, again, as he stated earlier, we don't know if we can do that. The one part I do not like about that is it's taking away the interior doorway to our laundry room,
which means basically, you know, we got to go outside and around and come back in. Not that that's, again, a big deal, you know, but if a training, you know, cold weather, nighttime, whatever, you know, we're making a trip to, we can't stay inside the building. As we do now, we have that access that goes back and forth on both sides there with it. The other part is, you know, the dining room upstairs, again, there's not a whole lot of space to where else to put it with the enlarged kitchen. You know, where the dining room sits now would not fit in there. You know, so, you know, my preference of which we did have on the, I guess we'd call it option A, is that we did have dedicated offices downstairs for, you know, we had the watch room, we had, you know, basically workstations for all of the personnel down there. And then also there was, that option also had a room where I believe that the district personnel themselves would have office space there also, was my understanding. Again, as far as the option C goes, pretty much nothing in that really works for the fire department. Again, I'm not in favor of bringing the public into our living areas. The dining area, you know, being that little U-shaped, the U-shaped table where, you know, we're more sitting with our backs to each other or, you know, alongside each other. Again, you have to understand firefighters, you know, we're a family, we live together a third of our life. You know, we like the traditional, you know, when we're going to sit down and eat, a traditional thing where you're sitting in a circle looking at each other and talking, not like we're at a diner, you know, which is, that's what that gives me the option. You know, it's kind of tight there for it, you know, but I mean, that's probably the, you know, the highest items there. Mallory talked about the item of dealing with, you know, ballistics protection. That is something that has always been a concern in the station there, just because of the fact of two stories. You know, at the station 71, you know, we do share quarters there with the PD, but we're on the same floor and we're actually, you know, we're not above or below each other. We're literally in two separate areas that we do not share, with the exception of a small little hallway. So, and plus most of the walls are brick. So, you know, it would stop most things. But, you know, again, the ballistics issue, while accidental discharge is very, very, very slim, you know, of it happening,
catastrophic,
it still can happen on the deal.
Thank you.
All right, so it's 4:38, and we do need to at least take some public comment. So I'd like to ask the public to be brief. As was mentioned in the next door announcement of this meeting, you know, this was really to bring the board up to speed on the latest developments, and a more comprehensive town hall meeting would be something coming down the line that would provide more opportunity for the public. But I will look to the public now and ask individuals who'd like to make a comment to raise their hand, and to please try to keep your comments to 3 minutes or less. All right, so I see, so Chris.
Would you like me to stop sharing my screen?
I don't think it matters. We're not going to put the public on the video. So the first hand I saw, pardon me if I didn't get the order right, is Christopher. So I'm gonna allow you to talk. Go ahead, please.
All right, can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. First, I want to thank RDC. I'm really happy that the engagement that we started, I guess it was back in February, has produced these results. I know that him and Mark worked really hard with our police department, and I'm assuming also with the fire department, fire district. I also appreciate everybody being flexible and understanding this is a, you know, a difficult problem to square. So again, thank you, and I'm happy this is produced not just one, but actually two lease options to discuss. I should make some clarifications. Our budget isn't final. We had the first finance committee meeting yesterday. We have a meeting next week, obviously, and potentially a second meeting in June. So the budget isn't final at all. We haven't passed it. There was a discussion about contingencies for relocation and possibly the building. So that's still to be discussed. Of course, without any concrete numbers, it's hard to put a budget on it. I do want to say on option C, Chief Simpkins, and I clarified that with him today, he didn't say option C was completely unworkable. He said option C, as is designed right now, is unworkable, but he was confident that something could be worked out, at least for the police department in option C. So he didn't say that it was a non-starter completely. He just said that as it is designed there, he's not happy with everything and he would want to have it redesigned. But as Mallory said, we decided that it would be really much more beneficial to get a decision on the elevator, and it sounds like also a decision on the deck before we start really hammering on option C. And as far as getting a decision from the county, it's my understanding that Bill talked with someone at RDC a couple weeks ago and said, go ahead and send over a charge order to have you go down to the county and get the question answered. And Bill sent a couple of emails since and has heard nothing. So I'm not quite sure where that stands. I know that we've, at least Bill has conceptually agreed that yes, we would pay for you to go down to the county and get a decision on the elevator with option B, but he hasn't heard anything for a couple of weeks. And so I'm wondering, is there a problem? Is there a miscommunication? It sounds like you're also suggesting that the fire district allow you or provide some guidance on that. But we've already said, as far as I understand from our general manager, that we've agreed to send us order a charge order to go down to the county. We'll approve it, assuming it's reasonable, and we can get that moving. Because I do think that elevator question needs to be answered at least in some way. Because if the county says you absolutely have to have an elevator, then it does answer everything. If they say you don't, then there's still discussions. But
thank you. That's
what I've got.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to mute you back again. And
I would like to, if I could, yeah. Could I respond to the third point? Because it actually is a segue. Thank you, Christopher. The third point is a segue to a point I did want to make. And I think it'll answer your question in part, Christopher. And that is that it's correct. I spoke to Bill, your general manager, about the possibility that it's fine with the police department to go ahead and meet with the county on these things. But what we have is, even though we're meeting currently separately with the two districts as a way to facilitate getting some progress and technical things worked out, when it comes to representing the building to the county and to have discussions about approvals, from their perspective, they're not two separate clients, they're not two separate buildings, it's one building. So we before we meet with the county, we need something that works, that is acceptable and has been at least provisionally approved to move forward from both the fire department and the police department. And the scenario that I will describe to describe why is that, let's say we show them this layout and we work it out and they agree, okay, you don't need an elevator. And then something comes from the fire district and that changes the floor plan. And now we've got to go back and redo everything with the county again. And we're doubling down on the meetings with them and they're doing it as a courtesy. So it's to our benefit to minimize the number of meetings, have a scheme that everybody has at least provisionally signed off on, and then go as a unified front and say, this is what we would like to talk to you about. So we have definitely noted the police department's preference for us to go meet, but we would request that we have both boards provisionally accepting plans, because I don't want to be representing a plan that this board has not approved, because we'd have to show both floors.
Well, when I say
approved, I don't mean final approval. I mean approved to proceed with, knowing that there are still contingencies and there will be changes, but at least accepting these in concept.
But to that point, Mallory, if option C is really not well regarded by either police or fire, and that leaves us option A or B, if the fire board decides, all things considered, that option A is preferable, and the police board may not like that, but you know, we would have to make a decision about it. So it may not be that both boards will agree, but we have to move forward. We're losing time and a lot of investment.
Correct. And if I'm understanding your point correctly, the thought is that I'm not looking for final decisions, but for instance, let's take the scenarios that we have in front of us that, you know, we will take the comments and with permission to move forward on them, communicate those comments. So for instance, if option C, as I'm hearing all the complications for option C relative to the fire department, as I'm speaking with the county, I will express those. This is a hardship. This is a public service, the public safety building. It's an essential service. And if certain items are enforced by the letter of the code or interpreted with a more severe interpretation, there will be significant hardships, and I can use this to represent that. But you're absolutely right that that there may end up not being agreement later, but at least for now, agreement that we can proceed with these. And once we have an agreement in concept on the general approach, then we can have those conversations with the county. So I hope that answers your question as well, Christopher. Why the delay?
I see one more hand raised from the public. We also are running pretty short on time, but I'll allow Sylvia to talk. Please go ahead.
I have a very quick question. The work product that we're looking at today, was that paid? Which district paid for that? Fire or police?
We are being extremely rigorous to segregate the expenses for the design based on the areas that we're working on. So any area, any design areas and any meetings that occurred relative to police department were paid for by the CPD, Community Protection District, getting that right. And then any of the areas that were upstairs or in the apparatus bay were paid for by the fire department. Because we have two contracts.
But I actually have had a question about that. If the changes in the upstairs for options B and C were for fire were caused by the police department engagement, I would have thought that would be included in what that district paid for. Because we wouldn't have needed to change the second floor without that the engagement between your firm and the community services district.
Billy's right.
That's correct.
Okay. Point taken.
Thank you.
At this point, I'm rather persuaded that option B doesn't really serve the needs of either the fire district or the police district. That it's a compromise that's really not in either district's best interests. So at this point, my preference would be to go to the county with option A only. The compromises are too extreme.
I have a strategy question, Mallory. Is there any merit on getting the cost estimation, having the community services district do the cost estimation for option B before going to the county in the event that it would prove to be unworkable within that 50% limit?
It's hard to say. We definitely have a chicken and egg thing going on that I think the best is really working concurrently so that we can go back and forth between those scope decisions, because some of the costs that are incurred by having the police department downstairs are dependent upon the assumptions of what goes into the scope. And so some of that can be value engineered. So I believe there is the leeway to value engineer the scope and expectations of the renovation for the police department to still meet that. So I don't see that there's inherently a deal breaker that would split it. And I think there's a lot to be gained. I think where the bigger cost differential is going to be whether or not we have to put an elevator in and whether or not we can expand onto the deck. Those probably have the most significant impact on the cost and will give us a better idea of how much this building renovation may cost. So there's strategically probably the to answer your question, the best approach is to do it all concurrently.
Okay. So Mary's looking for direction. I think this is tough. I have one more public comment, and this will be the last one. Okay, Linda, please go ahead. Okay, Linda, now.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, hi. I'd like to thank you. This has been a tremendous undertaking. This has been a wonderful example of trying to satisfy the public needs of both of the departments and thinking about Kensington as a town rather than turfism and the individual agencies that are involved. I can't speak highly enough for this approach. And there was an earlier, I would call it a speculation, a commentary regarding whether or not there is an unlawful gift of public funds. And I remember from years ago when we had something at the KPPCSD when I was on the board at that time about the sharing of expenses in respect of the same taxpayer population, if you will, two pockets of the same pair of pants. And at that time, as I recall, there was a public interest exception, i.e., that is, it was truly unlawful to make a gift of public funds benefiting an individual. However, at that time, and I would take a close look at it if it came up, but I don't seriously think there will be a change. If the funds were shared or devoted to the public purpose, which would be liberally construed, going all the way back to 1940, to my knowledge with the California Supreme Court, that was an exception called the public interest exception. So, you know, as I say, I haven't followed that. I was a little bit surprised to hear it, but I'd like to thank you because I think you've been proceeding in not only a comprehensive, beneficial direction for the people of Kensington, but in a lawful manner. So thank you for that.
Thank you. All right. So Mary asked about direction for the 2x2 committee to meet and proceeding with the county, which I think is the harder one because it sounds like really we don't want to either side taking the building as a whole and not as two different districts. Mallory, you wouldn't want to go to the county until a decision had been made on the options. Is that correct?
No, not a final decision on the options. I feel that a final decision on the options can't be made until we vet all the variables. And the significant variables of the deck and the elevator will have a large impact on whether or not any, you know, which scheme we go with. What we are looking for is a provisional approval to proceed with schemes currently developed to vet that additional information so I could come back to both boards. And if I were to say, for instance, definitively, an elevator is required and we cannot enclose the deck, now we have an answer, and then you look at the spaces that are available, given those parameters as a definitive, and then you would be able to make a more informed decision. Right now, we're providing you with some ambiguity because we don't have that informed decision yet. So, Julie, the answer is it's a provisional decision to move forward, not a final decision, because the final decision can only be made once all the information is in hand.
But you'd only move forward with one plan. That's how I understood it. Or would you go, for example, with A and B?
Well, we would go forward with B and C. If we are assuming that we are still studying having the combined, I think A could be construed from what we learn in B or C. So in other words, what's another way to say this? A is less impactful on code related items than B or C are. So B and C, if we vet them through with B and C, we will receive the information that we need to know that we could then apply to A without necessarily having to show them A. So in other words, I'm not doing a very good job explaining this, but I think B and C have information that A doesn't have, but A has can be extrapolated from what we learn on B or C. So what we would do is, if it is still an option to consider having the police department as part of the building, we would proceed with B and C for discussion with the county. I think requesting that strong consideration be given for B, we can't advocate, but we can make an argument for why C would be a hardship for both departments.
I have one point, and that is that we've always made the assumption in option A that we had to have an elevator. And that's the way the plan is there. It's not clear that we have to have an elevator in plan A either. And unless you ask the county, you're not going to know.
And we can certainly do that. The reason that I'm saying that is that, well, you're right. Yes. But part of what the argument that I was building is that A brings a lot of the fire department, any of the areas that could be in question, brings them down to the ground floor. So that already makes it less restrictive than fire department only on the upstairs, because now there's a mixing of what happens upstairs that might get into some gray area. But we certainly could go with all three too.
Well, I think
we don't want to go forward with any if any of these are considered non-starters, or maybe not even non-starters, but are considered that they shouldn't go beyond today.
Well, I think you've laid that out very clearly, Marilyn, actually, that why we don't have to bring A to the county, that because the other decisions on the B and C plan would answer A's questions. Larry's right though, option A does have an elevator, but if we don't need the elevator, then that gives more room. And okay, I agree with you. I think we're hearing on both the police and fire, and that option C is really not very good. And I hope we don't have to go there. I would, in answer to Julie's question about the 2x2 committee, I would just like to point out that both boards decided that all discussion about the public safety building, all these topics, would take place between the 2x2 committees in public. It's not necessarily a Brown Act thing, but it's in public. And no one delegated by vote or recension of those votes in either board to the general managers. I recognize that in the police district, the general manager is taking over, apparently, responsibility for negotiating on behalf of their board. But it seems to me that legally, if you want to have general managers do it, you have to take a vote to do that, because that's not what was decided. And it doesn't seem a good idea to wait for 2x2 committees to do this, because so far the police board, as Julie and Donna pointed out, have done nothing in 2x2 committee, and they clearly don't want to meet. So you know, de facto, this has to be done allegedly between general managers if we want to get anything done at all. Conversely, the fire board could just decide to go ahead and do what we have to do. And the police district can make requests, but, you know, yeah, we just do what we have to do.
So, Kevin, would you consider making a motion to give some direction to Mary about the 2x2 committee, authorize her to proceed to try to get a meeting scheduled?
Well, I think that's probably a waste of time, Julie, given what, you know, you've experienced already since February. Apparently, the police board had the time to meet with the architects since February, but they haven't had time to meet as a 2x2 committee during the same time. So that plus two other years previous that Larry and Don have detailed pretty much convinced me that I think that they want to do things the way they want to do it. And I think we could either make a motion to our board to rescind participation in a 2x2 committee and make some other solution for negotiating the building. But I don't see any point in trying to continue with this 2x2 thing any further.
Mary, do you see a benefit to it?
Well, I've begun developing a good relationship, working relationship with the GM at the Police Protection District, and we have some of the very same views that we're looking to collect all of the information that we can for our boards to be able to make a very informed decision, which is part of the reason that Mallory's here talking about the different options that the board's not deciding on, but exploring all of the information so that you have that to make a decision later. So I see that there's a possibility. I don't have a history. I'm new to the party, but I would, you know, obviously do my very best to work with the general manager to get any kind of discussions going, ideas on the 2x2 committee that we could bring back to the board, or any other ideas that I could bring back to the board for discussion.
So I would like to move that this board rescind its resolution to do these negotiations with the 2x2 committee and allow the general manager working with the board to handle the issue.
So that would be directed to Mary. Rescind the committee and direct Mary to work with their general manager.
Yes.
Okay, do I have a second for that motion?
Second.
All right, any discussion among the board for that?
Yeah, I just want to point out that the whole reason that we had this 2x2 committee, at least my understanding, was so that the public could get involved, so that the public could hear the arguments on both sides of this issue. And what we're doing is we're rescinding public involvement in this decision. It's now between two general managers. There's no public involvement. And I'm not sure that's a very good idea.
Well, I think, Larry, that, I mean, I agree with you. I'm sorry it's come to this. I mean, I'm sorry the other board had no interest in following its own directives. But I don't think we're going to get anything done horsing around with this any farther. I do think that meetings like today, as Linda Lipscomb has pointed out, are very transparent about what we're trying to do, at least, and about what Mallory and his gang have done, and, you know, working with the county, and what, you know, and Don and everybody else put in this work. I mean, I agree with you, but I think we're going to be as open as we can, because the manager is going to report back to the board, and they have to do that in public meetings where we get commentary. I think it's the best solution we're going to get. The perfect's the enemy of the good sometimes. I don't see another option.
But, you know, strangely, I think having Mallory involved in this solved all those problems that we might have talked about if we had had the meeting. So I think it's been successful that way. And I'm agreeing with you. We just should stick that way. And I don't know about a big public meeting or not.
I tend to agree, because the fire board is never prevented from having public forums. We had one in November 16th about the public safety building.
We've had two board meetings that were dedicated in detail before this one, and now we've had this one, and we can continue the dialogue coming from our board. So so there's a motion and a second on the table. I'll just look for any very brief public comment on that motion because it is an action. I'm seeing no hands raised. So, all right, there's a hand raised. Quickly, please. Linda.
All right, hold on. I want to be sure. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. I don't know if you have to do this. I respect where Kevin is coming from on this. If the maintenance of the 2x2 committee were obstreperous to continuing, to the general managers continuing, then I would say, you know, that makes sense. And as you pointed out, the fire board can carry the heavy load here and put on public meetings, so we would satisfy that. What about the idea of having the general managers go forward, maintaining the 2x2, and anticipating a 2x2 conference between one or more conferences between the two committees, between the two parties, excuse me, in the 2x2 committee, after the reports back from the general manager, which may involve further direction from the county, so that when that committee meets, it's further down the pike in terms of the amount of information it has. Just a suggestion.
Okay, thank you for your comment. All right. One very brief comment, Dave Spath. Keep it brief, please.
All right, very briefly. I think you should go forward with the recommendation you have. Having the two and two was a good idea originally. I don't think it is anymore because it essentially is delaying the process. You can provide public input at your meetings. The general managers can report on their progress. So I would certainly support what you propose.
Thank you, Dave. All right, then. I will, that's it for public comment. So I'd like to bring it back to the vote. We have a motion by Patey and second. Domer, all in favor of Kevin's motion? I vote in favor. Kevin?
I vote in favor.
All right. Don?
Yes.
Janice?
Yes.
Larry?
A rather reluctant yes.
All right. At least
I'm reluctant too, Larry.
All right. There's a direction for you, Mary. At least.
Thank you very much.
The idea of the county. So first of all, I'd like to just get a consensus on our board. We said the meeting would end at 5. We don't have a mandate to stop at 5. Are people open to continuing until 5:30 and then calling it off at that?
I can't. I have to leave.
Okay. What time do you have to leave?
5 minutes ago.
All right, then, because I don't know if we're going to be able to give direction on going to the county for the elevator. It seems to me that it depends on the openness of the fire board to option B. If there's absolute opposition to option B, then I think the matter's settled. But does anyone else see it a different way?
I see it your way that B is what we ought to run with.
I prefer to go with A. I mean, we've been waiting and waiting for some kind of financial contribution or proposal from the other district. I don't see that it's ever going to be forthcoming. So I reluctantly decide A is the only way to go.
Mallory, you wanted to say something, it looked like?
The one thing I was going to say, just to frame it a little differently than I framed it previously, based on the conversation that I've heard during this meeting, is that I might suggest the request that we are putting out there is, do we have permission to proceed with all three of these in our discussions with the county and receive feedback on all three of them, and which would allow us to discuss the complications and the relative merits from a seismic standpoint, from an accessibility standpoint. So no decision between the three here needs to be made. All we're looking for is permission to have these travel in our meetings and then discuss them further in the context of the approval agencies.
Yeah, I think the issue of the elevator, for example, doesn't have anything to do with whether it's fire or police. We have to know whether we need an elevator in the building, and maybe it'll be a little easier to get permission if it's a fire only. But I think we need to know all, we really have four options, right? We have an A and an A1, which is with or without an elevator, and we have a B and a C, which is with and without an elevator. And I think those all need to be pursued at this point.
And so would there be an expectation that if we went forward as you suggested, Mallory, then perhaps we'd share the cost of your engagement to do that with the other district?
Yes. Yes.
Do I have a motion from anyone on our board?
I'm from Keeping It Simple. And it seems to me I'm the one that's trying to get things done. They're pushing the schedule, and the more complicated it is, the more the schedule slips. We lost 4 months the first part of this year, and I just think let's keep it simple. I would go with B because it has all the components of A and C, so you're not, you know, you don't have to confuse them. You never take what you don't want and show it to someone that's going to make a decision. So I think we stick with B, and if it ends up being A or C, that's fine. It would fit within the general, option B has got it all. It just has some things we would like to have that we may not get. So I'm just for one, taking the, it's just confuse them. I wouldn't do that in 100 years.
Maybe to make this simple, I would like to move that we no longer consider option C.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
All right. Any other board comment on that? Okay. Public comment, because it's an action. Yes, quickly, Christopher. Yes, go ahead, please.
No, I just want to, as far as what you consider about option C, the fire district, certainly completely up to you, but I do want to reiterate that Chief Simpkins said that he thought that option C would work definitely as it's currently designed. He wasn't happy with it, but the characterization that the police is against option C is wrong. It's just that as designed, he's not happy, but he feels confident that the design could be made to work. And I think he's expressed that to Mallory. Thank you.
Thanks, Christopher. If I'm hearing it correctly, if option B was taken to the county and the county agreed that we don't need the elevator, there would still be the option to go with A if the police board did not, was not able to fund the project or didn't want to do it or what have you. And so we're not losing anything, if I'm understanding it, by going to the county with option B. And Don saying,
you're saying C?
I'm saying B, which B, is
got it. Okay. Yes, I agree.
I meant to say, yeah. B. I'm sorry. If I didn't. Okay, so Kevin has a motion on the table to rule out option C. So all in favor? Sorry, never mind. I have to pull. I'm in favor of Kevin's motion. Kevin?
I'm in favor of my motion.
Okay, Don?
Yes.
Janice?
Aye.
Larry?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries. So do I have a motion to authorize Mallory to take option B to the county and get a ruling on the elevator under the understanding that both boards would share the cost of that?
I would so move with the proviso that A and B are still actively being considered by this board.
I think that happens if we just take one to the county, sure.
Okay. All right, so do I have a second to Kevin's motion?
Second.
All right, Board discussion?
My only question is, and this is for Mallory, if you take B to the county and they approve it, and then we come back and say, well, we changed our mind, or for whatever reason, we decided to go with option A, does that start the whole process over again? I mean, will it take less time to have the county consider both A and B at the same time?
That's a very good question. And I in some ways, I need a little more time to consider that. But initially, I would say it would help to be able to have A in our back pocket. So as we're having the discussions, we could, as a follow-up, ask some questions on it. I agree with Dawn's assessment that the fewer options you have when you're presenting them, the better it's going to be, because an approval agency, they're not tasked with managing ambiguity. They want to give you an interpretation and a response to what you're proposing. And so I think, Larry, the answer is that we would need to be managing our awareness that A is still a possibility and make sure we get all information that we need on A during those meetings so we wouldn't have to start all over again. Now, I want to modify the language you use slightly. We will not be getting an approval on this during these meetings. We will be getting an interpretation, and that's different. Absolutely, once it comes time to get approvals, there can be only one option. But right now we're at a conceptual level, so we're having a pre-meeting with them to get feedback, confirmation of our assumptions, and general interpretations from which we can make further decisions. So.
Thank you, Mallory. All right, let's see. Kevin, Christopher, is your hand still raised from your last question, or did you have another question? Okay, you just put your hand down, so I guess we're good. Okay, Kevin, would you mind restating your motion?
Oh, I probably forgot it already. so much is happening. I guess the decision was to move to go to the county with option B to find out about that, with the understanding that option A and B are both still under active consideration.
And did you also say, and that the cost of that would be shared with the community services district?
I meant to, thank you.
Okay, and I'm sorry, but I forgot. Do I have a second to Kevin's motion?
I think I said second.
I thought so. Okay then, I'll call the vote. So I vote in favor of Kevin's motion. Kevin?
I'm in favor.
Don?
Yes.
Janice?
No.
Larry?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Kevin's motion carries 4-1. So Mary, I hope that serves as direction to you.
That absolutely does. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Okay, all right then. I think that we're ready to adjourn unless anyone else from the board has any other comments that you'd like to make.
I just want to clarify, just ask Janice, did you vote no because you don't want to consider option B at all?
She might have left the meeting. I can't quite tell. I think she...
Yeah, she did. She's gone.
Oh, okay. All right, then. It's hard when you can't see everybody on the same screen.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay, then. All right. So, Mallory, thank you very much. Another very helpful, extremely useful presentation from you. So, and I think, as Don said, I think that your involvement has in a lot of ways eliminated the need for the 2x2 committee, because between you and Chief Simpkins and Chief Pagoni and the Community Services District, Christopher taking the initiative for this second engagement with your firm, I think we've made a lot of progress. So thank you.
I agree. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right, everyone, our meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much for attending.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Thanks, Julie. Thanks, Mallory. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Mallory.
See you next week.
Next week. That's right.
Yes, that's right.